Hebrews chapter 11. I've been enjoying our series in the morning and the evening, but I kind of really favor the one in the evening because in the evening you get to go all over the Bible with it. You may not like it because you're having to go with your Bible. That's good for you. We won't go too many places in the Bible this evening, but we're still going to go a couple places. It's real good. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. One passage of Scripture this evening, Hebrews 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach it right in my heart this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the series of Living by Faith this evening is Moses' Parents. Living by Faith, Moses' Parents. Now, the last time we were in this study, we looked at the death of Joseph. All right? Now, continuing on and the way the stories progressed in the Old Testament, the Hall of Faith was really following along in there and continues on with that progression in the Old Testament. We just, here a while back, finished a series in Exodus. So we should be familiar with these next few stories about Moses. So we're going to concentrate on his parents this evening and the faith that they had. And the Hall of Faith that is an example to us. Keep your place there in Hebrews chapter 11 and turn to Exodus chapter 1. If you're not sure where that is, there's Genesis and there's Exodus. All right? Exodus chapter 1. And we're going to read all the way through from verse 7 through chapter 10. And no. Yeah, calm down. I misspoke. It wouldn't hurt us if we read that much Bible in church, okay? Let me start over. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7 through chapter 2, verse 10. That's where the 10 came in, all right? So just relax, y'all. As much as I'd like to, we're not going to dissect the whole Bible tonight. All right? Let's read this. Exodus chapter 1, begin reading verse 7. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there faileth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made them children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all their service, wherein they made them serve, and, was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and they are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Chapter 2 and verse 1, And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself of the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go, and the maiden went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And he said, Because I drew him out of the water. Little quiz here this evening. Parker, you were asking me this question earlier today. Do you remember how long the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt? Guess. Over 400 years. Very good, bud. Does anybody know how long we've been a nation? Almost 250 years. Okay? So the Israelites were in slavery longer than we've been a nation. Just to put that in perspective. Almost doubled. Okay? That's how long they were in slavery. Okay? So, put that in perspective as we think about the slavery of Egypt. And also, a little bit of history here for you. Scientists and archaeologists and anthropologists. Do you know what an anthropologist is? Anybody? Come on, you have to. Go ahead. Good guess, but not quite. No, not rocks. What'd you say? That's an archaeologist. No, an anthropologist is someone who studies man. Okay? All right? You were close, Keith. Anthropos is the Greek word for man. Okay? And so an anthropologist is someone who studies man. And they are typically archaeologists. Okay? Who dig up stuff and look at history and artifacts and so on and so forth. Anthropologists and archaeologists and scientists and historians for years have been trying to figure out how the Egyptians were so far advanced in all the buildings and the stuff they did and how they built it. Well, I got news for y'all. That's really not news for you. They had slaves called Hebrews, Israelites, that did most of that work. And they said, well, that was impossible because of the time it would have took. They were in bondage for over 400 and almost 450 years. Almost. And we as a nation have built monuments and buildings and entire civilization half that time. Well, we have a little modern technology. Well, for the first century of our nation, we didn't have all that technology. And we still grew and grew and grew and multiplied, okay, and built an entire civilization in one century. Don't you think it was possible with all that slavery help they had to build all those things? Absolutely. Well, and what is so bad is that many of those guys want to say that, well, the Jews or the Hebrew people were never slaves in Egypt. Yeah, they're morons. It's okay. Yeah. I'm just calling what they are. Right. When you refuse to believe the truth from God's word, then you must believe a lie. Believe it or not, there's lots of historical proof to prove that the Jews were slaves in Egypt. Well, they say, well, they didn't do the bulk of that work. I believe my Bible says they built for Pharaoh cities, plural. Okay? Plural. More than one city. Great treasuries. Yeah. And even though the slavery was wrong for them, you know what was one thing of the testament of time is that that stuff is still there. You say, why is that even a big deal? Because God's people built it. That's why. And it's still a testament of His people. Just saying. You know? They're trying to figure it out. I've already figured it out. God's people did it. And it's a testament that they were there. Okay? Well, how do we know that? If you don't want to believe God's word, I mean, I'm sorry, but you're not going to find where one slave says, I'm going to do this. Signed, a Hebrew slave named Moses, you know, or whatever the case may be. All right? They would have, if they had done anything like that called graffiti, what they would have called it, what we call it, they'd have killed the man and redo it all over again. Okay? So, all right, let me get back to the sermon now. My first point this evening is Moses' parents had fear in God. Moses' parents had fear in God. Out of all oppression in their society, they did not follow the king's commands that went against God's commands. I think that's very notable. Now, if you look at the midwives, they kind of skim by there. Now, I don't think they lied to Pharaoh. He said, listen, they're not our women are not like the Egyptian women. By the time we get to them, they've already had their babies. And what do you want to do then? Okay? We're trying to keep your commandment, but by the time we get there, they've already been born. So it makes Pharaoh mad. But not God. God blessed them and made them great houses. Okay? And made them have good children, to have great houses. But then Pharaoh saw where they were multiplying even faster. I guess fertility wasn't an issue for them in those times, as it is for us in some of these days. Because God was blessing them, that's why. He said, all right, I've had enough. Every male child that's born, go drown him in the river. But Moses' parents didn't do that. They feared God just like those midwives did. Even in the midst of that oppression, they feared God more than the king. More and more of God's people need to follow their example. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to respect our government and our leaders. And we're not going to go to all the verses that talk about that. Listen. Over in the New Testament, as we read before, they were told to respect Caesar. All right? And one of those Caesars in the middle of that was Nero. Do y'all know how evil that guy was? That's where we get the expression, Nero played while Rome burned. And the expression behind that is, and I don't know the full story behind it, but from what I know about it, is like he invented what we call the modern fire department, but they charged you and they come to the home and to put out the fire, and if you didn't pay, well, it burned to the ground. Well, Nero started the fire, but he blamed it on the Christians. Okay? And all that money was going to go in his pockets from that fire. But on top of that, he was going to get rid of a problem called Christians that he hated and persecuted. In fact, he killed many of them. And God said, you respect Caesar. You think we got it bad in our government? Huh. They had it pretty bad back then. However, and the Bible plainly teaches this, at any point in time when the laws of the land interfere with God's laws, you and me, God's people, always follow God and fear Him more than the government. Always. Always. This passage here in Hebrews, over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, and the whole book of Hebrews was intended for the Jewish reader. Dr. Joseph Brown wrote, with his Jewish readers in mind, the writer presented Moses and his parents as witnesses in defense of a life of faith. Moses, arguably, was the greatest of the Old Testament figures, and his greatness was not based on legalism. It was based on his faith in God. Moses and his parents believed God in the midst of difficult and trying circumstances. During times of persecution and affliction, there are normally heroes who go beyond what is expected of them and who show bravery in the face of danger in order to aid the afflicted. You see, even the modern Jews, Moses is their hero. All right? He is, and I don't mean to be mocking this by any means, but Moses is their Jesus. Okay? Now, Moses was a type of Jesus, the point of the Savior that we need and all that. But to them, he's the founder of their religion. If Moses said it, whoo, it's the law. Okay? And when Paul, here writing to the Hebrew people, begins to talk about Moses and his faith and then his family's faith, that would have made a great impact on them. Now, God was going to bless Amram and Jochebed, also called Jochebed, for their decision because God was going to use Moses. Now, Amram and Jochebed, or Jochebed, was Moses' parents. Okay? Amram was his father. But because of their decision to fear God more than the king, God was going to bless them. Let me tell you something here this evening. I cannot guarantee you your life. Only God can. Okay? And God does not promise us that if we choose to follow Him, and if our government does something wrong that we are not in agreement with, which, by the way, there are several things that we don't agree with our government, but if they make us do something and we don't, God doesn't promise us that we won't lose our lives. But if you fear the Lord, you better fear Him more than our government. All right? It is scary. It's very scary. And let me tell you, Amram and Jochebed could have been killed because of this if they had got caught. But it didn't matter to them. They knew what God said was more important. My next point this evening is Moses' parents had strength in God. Not only did they have fear in God, and I misspelled it, I apologize, but they had strength in God. On top of fear, it takes strength from your faith to do what they did. It takes strength from your faith to do what they did. Brother Brown wrote, Exodus chapter 2 contains the witness of the faith of Amram and Jochebed. The word proper means that Moses' parents, like most parents, thought their child was about the most beautiful child they had ever seen. But more than just being a lovely baby, God apparently revealed to them that Moses was more important to him as well as to Israel. Knowing that God was with them, they were not terrified of Pharaoh's edict. They did not allow their son to be killed because of fear for their own lives. Y'all, that takes faith and it takes strength. They made this decision. If y'all have ever had children, you know the feeling. The little baby's born. And that's just the most precious thing I've ever seen in my life, you know. And when it says he was a proper child, they probably have the same thing everybody, every other parent does. That's just the best baby in the world. And they already had other kids, okay? But something from God told them, just trust me. Just trust me. Now, some of you parents were like, I would not have allowed the government to kill my child. Okay? Well, let me take you to a real world situation. Let's go to China just for a little bit. For several years now, the Chinese people have been a problem of overpopulation. They're too crowded. So in their government, which is a lot different from ours, they said, you're allowed one child. Just one. You have more than that, we will kill whatever child comes after your first child. No questions asked. So, that's been a problem through the years for them. On top of mass murder that they've had. Then they have another issue that comes along. You see, they're not a Christian society at all. Oh, there are probably some churches in secret there. I don't doubt that at all. But overall, they are not a Christian nation at all. They've been founded with Christian beliefs. They're Buddhist by the long run. All right? They believe in a life force, reincarnation, so on and so forth. Well, in their culture, almost like ours, the male carries the family name. But it means much more to them. Women in their society, even though they've progressed over the years, still are not as strong, but they are not as equal in their eyes as it is in our culture. All that being said, the glory in their culture goes to the male child and never to the female. Okay? In most Asian cultures, women walk behind men. And when you go to an Asian restaurant with those types of cultures and customs, even as an American male, I will be served before my wife does. Okay? And so, if you're only allowed one child, just one, well, guess what most parents want? A boy. So when they find out they're not going to have a girl, they aborted the girl and had a boy. Well, on top of that being murder as well, it's the same issue that we have as it being murder in our country, right? If you don't know that already, abortion is wrong. It is murder. It's against God's word. That's one of the issues I have with our government approving such things. Okay? Then you have another problem that comes along. Well, you've had an overcrowded population. Guess what? Now you don't have any population that's going to come. You've got a nation full of boys and no girls. Well, guess what? God designed for all the world to be repopulated with boys and girls. You can't have a baby without both of them. So, then they decided, here in the last few years, you know what, we've got a little problem now. Yeah, you think? Well, now you're allowed to have two children. That still doesn't help anything. Because the more males you have, the more glory that comes to your family. What they need is Jesus. Okay? What our country needs is Jesus too. All right? So, if you are faced with that decision, a lot of those people would have said, well, I'll just get rid of it. You know? Because I'll die as a result. Listen. Now, see, this is what's so hard for me to understand, but here's why. for a saved person to be willing to sacrifice their child for themselves is wrong. And we know that. But for heathen people, it's not a very hard decision for some reason. You say, why is that? Even God's own chosen nation, at one point in time, in their idolatry state, sacrificed their own children to a fire god. That's horrible. Absolutely horrible. But something happened between this point and Moses' birth and to that point. It's because they got away from God. Y'all, God, not only does His Word tell us what's right and wrong, but His Holy Spirit, if we are saved, He is with us and lets us know what is right and wrong. Okay? And these two people here, this husband and wife, this mom and daddy, Amram and Jochebed here, they feared God more than the king. And so they said, all right, Lord, we're going to obey Your command and not sacrifice our children. And this baby boy that was just born to us, we trust You more than the king. We fear You more than the king, God. And so therefore, we need strength from You, God. We need Your strength. Well, for 3 months, they hid Moses. And I'm sure every day they cherished every little moment. Until he was too big to hide anymore. Now, for those of you who don't have babies or never had babies, when they're first born, yeah, they make a little noise. But it's not too loud. Well, for most of them anyway. Okay. But as they get older, they get much louder. They do. And they get bigger. And as they get bigger, the bigger the stuff that comes out of them too, okay? And you got to do something with all that stuff. All the washing and the cleaning and so on and so forth. And you know what? We can't really hide this kid anymore. He's going to get to a point where, where'd that boy come from? How'd he get there? Mm-hmm. Now, there's a problem. So, in all this time, for these 3 months, they were risking their lives. But what good parents wouldn't do that, you know? What good parent wouldn't risk their life for their child? Then the hard decision had to be made about what to do. And don't you know it was hard? It was hard. For Amram and old Jochebed. Especially on that mama. But it took strength. It took strength and faith to do such. Some mama said, I couldn't have done that. Well, if it meant saving your little boy's life, you'll do whatever it takes. Even if it means never seeing them again. But she had enough faith, and Amram had enough faith in God, that you know what? In order to save Moses' life, we're going to put him in this ark, send him down the river, and God will take care of him. Well, Moses' mother hid him in the ark of bulrushes until a daughter of Pharaoh found and rescued him. The faith exhibited by the parents of Moses included belief that God would preserve their baby and he would be used for God's direction to accomplish great things for his people. I love this. They did not know what was going to happen to Moses. They didn't know. But y'all, they had enough faith, fear, and strength in God to do exactly that. They said, you know what? We really want to keep him, but if we keep him, he's going to die. They're going to kill him. And then all that time that he was with us and trying to save his life, and then they kill him, then they'll kill us, and then the rest of our family. So God said, all right, just trust me. And they had enough strength and faith in the Lord that they did that. They put him in the ark, sent him down the river. But I love that his sister, and this was of God, y'all. This was of God, and I love this. Who was his sister? Miriam. Oh, Miriam follows the basket. Well, down comes Pharaoh's daughter down the Nile River to get a bath. Her and all her parade of women servants with her. I'm sure there are musicians involved and so on and so forth. I mean, they're just taking a bath for crying out loud. But no, we had to make a procession. You know, all in a royalty. Then she notices this little basket, this little ark there. She says, "You, go get that. What's in there?" And of course, it was Moses. She knew it was one of the Hebrew children. And she also knew that her father had commanded all those male children be killed. But God somehow, with Pharaoh's daughter, who didn't even believe in God, by the way, had compassion on the child and wanted to raise him as his own. Well, then a problem came about. How are you going to feed the baby? He stole mother's milk. Well, there's Miriam. There's Miriam. She had faith in God, too, and fear in the Lord. Some say, if I'd have spoke up, I'd have been killed. But she had more fear in God, too. That's taught to her by her parents, praise the Lord. She speaks up. I know one. So go get her. Miriam goes and gets Mama. The same one who didn't know what was going to happen to her baby boy. I wish sometimes the Bible would give a little more details for my curiosity. You know, but God's word is sufficient. But don't you know, Miriam runs back home. Hey, Mama! Ima! That's Hebrew for mother, by the way. I got a surprise for you. And she's already upset, you know. What's that, Miriam? Moses is alive. And guess what? You get to go see him every day. What's going on? Pharaoh's daughter has him, and she wants you to come be the nursemaid. I'm sure she dropped everything she had and went that minute. You know what Mama wouldn't. And you know what that happened? Because of their faith in God and fear in God and strength from the Lord, my last point is that Moses' parents were blessed by God. Moses' parents were blessed by God. You see, they didn't know, but they had faith in God. And because of their faith, God blessed them. You see, Moses actually grew up knowing who his parents were. Now, all the movies will tell you that he didn't know who they were. Hogwash. Moses knew exactly who he was. He grew up knowing who his mom and daddy were. His heritage. Yes, there came a point in time where Moses was brought to Pharaoh's home. But he knew who mom and daddy were. He knew exactly who they were. Brother Brown says, the writer of Hebrews 1 is Jewish readers to understand the absolute priority of faith because at that particular time, fear had become the dominant factor of Judaism. As Moses' parents were not afraid of Pharaoh because God was on their side, so these persecuted brethren should not be afraid of political leaders like Nero or the great Sanhedrin of Jerusalem. You see, Judaism during that time, it wasn't a religion of love. It was about hate and fear. If you even thought of converting to Christianity, oh man, that might mean death. By Rome or Jerusalem. But the writer of Hebrews here, Paul, says, here's an example of someone who went just through that. And y'all, because of their faith in God, God allowed them to continue to see Moses as he was growing up in Pharaoh's home. What a blessing. All because of their faith in God, their fear in God, and their strength in God is why they were blessed by God. We too can be blessed if we put our faith in God. Now this is hard. It's hard if you've never done it. Sometimes it's hard even when you've done it. But if you know something is right according to God's Word and His will, then by all means do it. If you know something's wrong according to God's Word and His will, then don't do it. Why? Because I have enough fear in God, that's why. I have enough faith in God, that's why. And I can have enough strength from the Lord as a result to be blessed. No one knows what tomorrow brings. Nobody does. But this one thing I know, as the old song goes, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. That's Jesus. And if you've never trusted in Him, you are missing out on eternity. If you're saved here this evening and you're not using your faith, see, faith is like your muscles. Okay? Now, forgive my physical physique this evening. I know I'm not the best example of that. But let me tell you something, if you hope you understand this. There's something called atrophy, in the medical terms. That's a problem when you haven't used your muscles for a while. You lose the strength in them. And when that happens, it takes a long time to get that strength back. Okay? Well, faith is kind of like your muscles. It's there, but you have to use it. You've got to exercise your faith. And if you don't exercise your faith when you need it the most, you're going to have some weak faith. Just like when you need those muscles and they're not in shape, you've got what? Weak muscles. Well, when it comes to using your faith, if you haven't been exercising your faith regularly, when it comes to those really tough moments when you need it, you're going to have some weak faith. Those who've been through boot camp can understand that physically and mentally. They train you through some hard stuff, don't they? Don't they? Yeah. Why? Because they're preparing you for when you're in those situations. Y'all, why do you think trials and tribulations and tests come our way? Not only to test our faith, but to strengthen our faith in the Lord. And when we fail, guess what? When we fail, because God didn't fail. When we fail, it's because we did not trust enough in the Lord. Now y'all, each and every one of us have been through some hard times. And I wish I had good news for you, but the bad news is that it's just only going to get harder. It's just a fact of life. But what you do now, and whatever test and tribulation you're in, or the one that's going to come, will determine how well you do on the next turnaround. You see, it's through those moments you should get closer to God. Depend upon Him. But if you get further and further away from God, you are doing yourself more harm than good. But the good news is that one of these days, if you're saved, we won't go through that anymore. When we see take our last breath in this life, close our eyes in death, and wake up in eternity, we won't have that anymore. I believe Jesus, when He talked about trials and tribulations and persecutions, He said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Why is there comfort? Why is there comfort? Because there's something better coming. I love what Brother Cameron said this morning, is that during those tough moments in boot camp where he looked up to the Lord. Well, guess what? You've got some tough moments coming in your life. Where are you going to be looking? And all these examples of faith of living by faith are all examples to us to where do we find the source of our faith? In God. He's the one that can help us through that. He's the one that can stick closer than a brother. He's the one that's there when no one else is around. He's the one that's always knowing, always looking when no one else is around. If you're here this evening and you need to get your life right with the Lord, today is the day. Don't put it off anymore. Get your heart right with God tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for these examples of faith. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus, who not only gives us strength, but Lord, because we fear you, he helps give us the faith that we need in you. And Lord, when we put our faith and trust in you because we fear you and you give us strength, that you bless us as well. Lord, I pray for those who are here this evening that are struggling with things in life. And you know what's going on in their life, Lord. And wherever I may be able to talk to them or somebody else may be able to talk to them, Lord, but only you can help them. And may they come to you and may you be able to help them and give them comfort in their lives tonight, Lord. And if they're not living their life right for you, I pray they would turn around tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? What shall we sing, Brother Mike?